Morning. We're nearing the end of our text, as you all have noticed. So last week, in order to discuss about the jnana palam, because the jnana palam, what is the result of this jnanam that's been discussed, the whole text is discussing, right? The main point, aikyam, that we analyze the individual, Vyashti, or microcosm, we analyzed the samashti, or the totality, macrocosm, and then looked into why there's no difference, one and the same. That's the essence of it, of the text, and then looked into jnana palam, what is the result? Okay, good, very good. So I can inquire and have this knowledge. What is it good for, right? Why do I need it? What is it useful for? So then I was discussing about that, about the jnani, who is the jnani, and the jnani will know themselves by, right, not pratyaksha, not paroksha, but aparoksha jnanam, direct knowledge, not with inference, not with senses. To know I am, there's no question about it. You don't need any instrument, right? You don't have to go to your smartphone and go to AI and check out, am I here? Right? You don't need your spouse to tell you, I'm here. Do I exist? Yes, you exist, silly. Okay, you exist. No, you know directly, like this. So we're discussing this. And so the jnani knows this directly, just like I know in this body, just like I know in this mind, all these things, right? So in this one, and it said the jnani then is free from all bondage, right? So then, last week, the text discussed about karma, because it's saying now that the jnani is free from all karma. So we have to know karma. And here it said karma, we mean by karma, by the karma pala, right? What happens, we said, each karma you do, an action you do, there's two types of results. Each one has these two types. One type is what's called drishta palam, the immediate thing that you see. One is adrishta, that which you don't see, which is the, because it becomes subtle, becomes what we call punya papa, right? Becomes sin and merit, like this. Nothing is 100% pure, this or that in the world, so even the most best action will have some negativity in it too. The most negative action will have some positive in it too, like this. Like if you go to Uttarkashi there, in early 90s, there was a big earthquake. So like the town in Ganeshpur, the ashram where I go every year, then over there, so many of the houses collapsed. So many collapse in this, so no family without somebody died from the earthquake, horrible thing and everything. So Premananji also says, look, this horrible thing happened, but now all the construction there has become solid. Everybody built solid in this. The infrastructure's gotten much better. So, big tragedy, but then also from the big tragedy, something positive eventually also comes out. So nothing is 100% positive, negative. That's aside, that's not to do with our main topic, just aside like this. So then we said, if right now somebody has a knife and cuts somebody, drishta palam is the person's cut. Adrishta palam, the person cutting could have been a criminal or somebody angry doing some violent action. So adrishta palam is going to be a negative reaction, right? The person was a surgeon, and then cutting in order to try to help the person. So adrishta palam, is positive, they're trying to help the person. So in this way, so the adrishta palam is like this. And adrishta palam, we don't know when it's going to come about, right? It goes like something in a seed form, you don't know when it's going to sprout out. At the right conditions, it'll come around. So right condition comes. So what happens in our life now is also due to karma from the past, right? Whatever I go through now, due to my karma. Now then we say, okay, so this life, where is it? Yeah, my previous life then has affected this. And what about before the life before the, yeah, from karma before? And then we said, well, what about, where did it all start? You know, what about the first life? Where did that start? We said, what do you mean by first life? Because if you had a first life, that would be also karma palam. So there has to be something before. So he said that the individual is based on, right, the karana sharira is made out of ajnanam, out of ignorance. And ignorance is beginningless, right? Let's say we're all in here. I'm assuming we don't know Chinese like this. When this exact example Vijayji gave in class, mostly Indian people, Vedanta class sitting there. And so he assumed the people there weren't Oriya. So he said, for instance, if none of us know Oriya language, and I smiled inside because now I don't know, but I understand some because on earth is Oriya. But I'm assuming, let's say we don't know Chinese. When did your ignorance of Chinese start? Tell me, since when do you not know Chinese? There's no beginning to it, right? Now, if now we go and we go to here in Bay Area, no problem to find somebody to teach Chinese, we'll study for 1 year, and then, you know, some of my ignorance of Chinese has gone away. Let's say my ignorance of Chinese went away, so it came to an end. Beginningless, but came to an end. So my ignorance of self and ignorance is beginningless, but it can come to an end, like this. This is what it says. So there's no first birth. If you take the example of the dream, in the dream, you're in the dream world. Within the dream world, when did it start? Within the dream world, you say, well, I'm here, I'm 30, 40, 50, whatever years old in the dream. And then I must have been born on this and this a date in this place. And then before that, yeah, there was existence before that. Maybe I lived somewhere before. And this whole world started at some point. And that whole world came into being from what? Yeah, there was previous creation, so then this one came into being. And before that, yeah, there was another, beginningless, within the dream. But once you wake up, or once that dream ends, you go to other dream, that dream world is gone. Waking up, dream world is negated, gone. Came to an end. So in this way. So and similar in our waking, myself as this individual, and I say I'm here this life, previous life, next life, all this. When it's negated, like the dream is negated, then it comes to an end because ajnanam is gone. So in any case, then there's no first. And then it talked about what types of karma are there. Three types of karma, right? It said there's the sanchitam, that which is collected through all our lives, the karma that's collected there. Potential for, you know, all future births, all future experiences like this. That's sanchitam, all collected. Like savings account, right? You have a CD sitting there. Later you can, after 2 years, something can be taken out. Then you have the prarabdham. A part of the sanchita is fructifies, so this life is that. Everything this life I have now is where I'm born, how long I live, all these things. Prarabdham, part of sanchita that's fructifying now. But now I'm also creating karma. Now I do actions, there has to be adrishtapalam. So that, right now I'm doing, that'll eventually have to come back too, right? So that we call agami, that one which will come. Prarabdham is already, means that which is already started, put it set in motion. Agami, that which is creating now, that will come. So that agami karma, we don't know when it'll come, when the effect will come, just like the other karmas. So some might come in this life, some might join sanchita and then come in future lives. We don't know. Because, you know, we can't tell. It's impossible to tell you. The plant has seeds. You know where they're going to fall, how they're going to get to some place, when they're going to come up. You don't know. It's at the right place and time. So this way, these three types of karma. So this is what was discussed. And then from here, it'll discuss how the jnani is free from these types of karma. Because now that we have the types of karma, jnani is free from karma of these three types. So we were on 43. Is that it? Yeah, 43. We read that, but then now we start analyzing from point of view of jnani. Idam shariram upadya iha. Idam shariram upadyeha. You found it? 40. It's idam shariram upadya. Yeah, you see it. You're a main Sanskrit reader, so you have to find it, because you know how to read it well.
43.
Idam shariram upadyeha. Idam shariram upadyeha. idam shariram upadyeha loka evam sukha dukkhadi pradam loka evam sukha dukkhadi pradam yat karma tat prarabdham yat karma tat prarabdham bhogena nashtam bhavati bhogena nashtam bhavati prarabdha karmanam prarabdha karmanam bhogadeva kshaya iti bhogadeva kshaya iti. That karma which, having created the body in this world in this manner, gives comfort, pain, etc., is prarabdha. It is destroyed by going through the experience. It is said, only by going through experiences does the exhaustion of prarabdha karma take place. So that means that even for jnani, prarabdha still has to go through. If that weren't the case, it would be like, then only somebody that is not alive can be a jnani. You can't be jivan mukta. You can only be after death mukta, but then that doesn't make sense, because you can know here and now that you're the conscious being. That's the whole idea, the whole teaching, not that some other place in time, what's the guarantee? So then it says here, only by going through the karma. That's the only way, prarabdha karma. Once it's set in motion, it has to play out. That's why jnanis, you can see, going through different things too, just like everybody else. Health of the body, right? You see jnanis, Ramakrishna, Ramana Maharshi, right? They went through cancer, they went through their difficulties like this. So the prarabdha has to play out. That it started, it's going to end. And also, if somebody becomes jnani, they're not alive anymore, how can you have the teachings from a realized being? You can't. Right? You wouldn't be able to sit in front of somebody who really knows it to the depth and be able to point it out to us. Only be a jnani parampara. When you study the Kathopanishad, there it says, the blind leading the blind. We'll only be blind leading blind like this, and we'll fall into the ditch like that. So that's what's pointed out. No, it's not that it'll talk now about that, what is the prarabdha for the jnani, but the jnani then has to go through it too. It's not that that prarabdha goes away there and then. Okay, so that's prarabdha. Let's see the other, and we'll get back to it. Let's see the other types of karma. Sanchitam karma, brahmevasmiti, nishchayajnanenanashyati. The sanchita karma, or accumulated results of actions, is destroyed by the clear knowledge of Brahman alone I am. So what happens then, if once you have knowledge of yourself, the self-knowledge, all the sanchita is gone. Like for instance, let's say you're dreaming now, right? We're having a nice dream. Oh, enjoying so nice under the warm blanket and, you know, peacefully. Now, when that dream comes to an end, I didn't wake up yet. How many dreams potentially can come up next? Endless, right? Human mind can create endless dreams. We're amazing, amazing imagination. Endless. Theoretically, it can be there for eternity. Keep, you know, bring up one dream after the other. So endless, like this. The moment you wake up, how many dreams are there? All the dreams are gone. You can remember them, but you know it's just a dream. You know that the dream wasn't real, right? you tell somebody, yes, I had a dream and this. Really? Oh no. Did you get hurt? No, they're not going to say that. No, it's a dream. Oh wow. So much, you got that great prize, millions of dollars. Wow, can you share some with me? They're not going to say that because they know it's a dream, right? I like that. So there's no question about it. You know the dream is mithya, dream is unreal. So it's gone. So you, there won't be others. So in this way, the jnani, there's no sanchita for them, it's gone. Because in order to have sanchita, in order to sanchita meaning I'll die and then I'm going to be born again, there is to be some pressure to go and some pressure to get the life. Some desire has to be. There's some identity. I have to identify as an individual in order to look for the other dream. In order to look for, for another birth. In order, just like the dreamer is looking for, still identifies as a dreamer and then wants to bring up some other dream. We want to pursue some other dream as an individual. So we're born again. Because you have to identify as the individual. You don't identify. What are you going to run? There's nothing to push you into that. Okay. So another example they give for it is if there is a criminal and this criminal has many pending court cases, right? Has done a lot of criminal activity, very successful. So they didn't just do, it's not the one time they shoplifted and that's it, but they did many things. So the police have lined up dozens of cases against this criminal. Now the police finally go after this criminal, but during the whole operation, the criminal dies. Now, what are they going to do with all those court cases? They're going to try them anyway, right? No. All the cases are filed, put in boxes, and put in storage, and forget it. Nobody's going to look at them anymore, because who are you going to try for that? There's nobody left to try for it. So in jnani, there's no individual. They know they're Brahman, they know they're the consciousness of that individual. Why, you know, there's no karma left, they're not going to run after anything else. No desire for it. So then, the way this is also looked at is when you have seeds, if you have a bunch of seeds, eventually, at the right time, place, they're going to sprout and grow. But let's say, without your noticing, somebody put them in the oven for some time, right? So they got burnt. Now, they look just the same. They don't look any different. You try to plant them, but nothing happens. All the potency is gone. So they say this way, the seeds of karma for potential future, gone. It's not going to come again. So in this way. So the jnani then, because the jnani doesn't say it's my last birth. Jnani says it was mithya, there is no birth-death. They don't see it like this. So that's why, so the sanchita karma then, all the accumulated karma is finished. It's not going to manifest for jnani. Okay, so that's sanchita karma we take care of like this. That's our sanchita karma, not for jnani. Because the thing, I have to be an individual. I identify as this individual. Now I'm going to go, you know. So then I need some, something to continue forwards. But I don't identify as individual. I quit. So then how can I take that on? There's nobody to claim that karma. Okay. So like this. Now we'll talk about agami karma, what happens. Agami karma pi jnanena nasyati. Karma pi jnanena nasyati. Kincha agami karmanam. Kincha agami karmanam. Nalini dalagata jalavat.
Nalini dalagata jalavat.
Jnani nam sambandho nasti. Nalini dalagata jalavat. This is actually in the, maybe not exactly, but exact way it's said, but the exact term is used in Bhaja Govindam of Adi Guru Shankara as well. Agami karma also is destroyed by knowledge. Further, just as water on the lotus leaf, wise men do not have any connection with agami karma. So what happens then is, to create new karma, there has to be some, you have to be a karta, a doer. The bhokta is there because it's karta. You do something so you, in order to experience. So by doing an action, the result comes as experience, and in general it says sukha dukkha is the result, right? Pleasure, the happiness, sadness, this is the karma pala. The rest is the wrapping, right? Wrapping. You put some sugar in with the medicine for the kid to take the medicine. It's the wrapping. So some situation is here, and then from that sukha dukkha comes like this. So in any case, so what happens is I'm a karta, I'm doer, so that I'm doing something, so I will get the result. I go to work, I do some work, according to what I do, they pay me, right? I do a lousy job, they dock some of the salary because I messed something up and caused trouble. I do something very, very well, they give a raise or promotion, whatever bonus you're doing so well. So it's the karma pala. The karta will be bhokta, will get the result. Jnani those know that there are karta. They know, as it said earlier, naham dehaha, I'm not the body, I'm not the mind, I'm not the doer. Intellect, the doership is in the intellect, the ahankara. So now, since I'm not the doer, how will I be the one who reaps the result? Jnani knows they're sakshi, they're the witness in consciousness, they're not the individual. Not the individual, how am I creating karma? They're not creating karma. It's just nature is doing it on its own. Right? Because it's all thing, everything belongs to the universal. We saw each part of whatever makes up the body, makes up the energy, makes up the mind, makes up every part of this is the gunas and the five elements. That's doing everything. As I identify with it, that's one thing. But when I know I'm not these, then how am I going to create karma? It's not me. The one who doesn't needs to get the result, but the jnani knows they're not the one doing it. So agami, the activity happening, the jnani is not creating karma because they're not the doer. Okay, because we said the motive behind the action is creating the adrishta palam, the person with the knife, the example we just gave, they have a motive behind that created karma palam. But the jnani is not identifying the action, they're not doing, it's just happening, then what karma pala is there? So it says here, the nice example of the leaf, the water on the lotus leaf. And I remember when I was in Kerala, maybe 15 years ago or whatever, first time I actually was right next to, I've seen lotuses, but in a place where the lotus is right there. So then we didn't have smartphones that have the cameras on them, right? So I had a digital camera, and I would take the lotus leaf is sitting there, throw the water on it, and I videoed how the water just... one of two things happens. If the leaf is tilted, it'll just kind of collect and go off, and then nothing's left. It has a film there that doesn't let it get wet. Or if it's more straight up and there's like my palm like this, that there is a little bit of space, in like a valley in the middle, then what'll happen, it'll become like a pearl and just sit there. So here it's saying, just like that little bit, that pearl of water is sitting here, any moment the little wind will come, it'll tilt and it goes off. So the jnani, just like that water on the lotus leaf, not touched by the agami karma, it doesn't touch them. So the film is the akartirtvam, abhoktirtvam, non-doership and non-experiencership, but they know that that's what they are. So it's very nice. Nalini, the lotus, dala, the leaf, gata, having gone there, having sitting there, jala, the water, vat, like the water sitting on the lotus leaf, that is the how the karma does not get attached to the jnani. With us, it connects to us seemingly. Does it really, karma really attached to me? No, but it seems to be because of ajnanam, because of my ignorance of self, I think I'm doer, I think I'm experiencer, so then it catches me. It doesn't really, right? It seems to. And of course, it really seems to. It's not obvious that it's not, otherwise it would be very easy. Oh yeah, I understood, it's karma's there, I'm not the doer, I'm not the experiencer. Okay, very good, I feel I'm free like this. So one has to really look into it because of my strong identification as this jiva. I take myself to be this jiva. It's very, very deep, strong identity I have. So that identity has to be dropped, that's all. Okay. But so this is, so now, just as it said here about the agami karma, right? So same thing we'll say about the prarabdha karma. Because, okay, I'm doing something so that I know I'm not doer. Since I know I'm not doer, then whatever karma is there, it doesn't touch me because I know I'm not doer. So just like I'm a karta, I'm not doer, also I'm a bhokta, not the enjoyer. Enjoyer, experiencer, because enjoying meaning, enjoying the result, what comes. So something I enjoy, something that I suffer from. So enjoyership, meaning experiencership. So just like I know I'm not doer, the jnani will know that, jnani will also know that I'm not bhokta, not experiencer. So something comes due to prarabdha, it's the same thing. Something very favorable comes, it comes, but then they don't identify as the experiencer, so why? It doesn't affect them. Or something, you know, negative comes also, doesn't affect them, because knowing that it's not, you know, that they're not touched by it. Okay? So in this way, the jnani is free from, isn't the whole accumulated karma is gone, the whole storehouse, not creating new karma, and as doing not doer. And the prarabdha will play out, but they aren't touched by it. Otherwise, if touched by it, meaning still, the jnani would still be samsari. Oh, wonderful, this happened. How fortunate I am. Well, or, oh, poor me, why is this happening to me? Well, then they're identifying with it. Might play the role like that a little bit, but really inside wouldn't be touched by it at all. Like this. They can play the drama if they want to, but they don't. But they know they're playing the drama. We don't think we're playing drama, that we're acting. We take this as a real thing. They take it as playing drama. In Uttarkashi, if you come one time, Swami Premanandi's ashram, when I first was going, there was one small building where were two rooms. One he stayed, one was office, or the two people that were helping run the ashram were there, and a kitchen, and big cracks and big ants coming in a lot of the time, and a lot of veranda where you'd sit and talk with them or have tea or whatever. And then there was another building where there were a few rooms in a hall. That was everything. But then he built a big building there that, you know, two dozen rooms or whatever, so people can stay. So what happened is, when they were working on it, as happens in India, the work wasn't progressing, right? Things weren't happening. And the rainy season's about to come, monsoon season, and the roof wasn't finished. If they don't finish, the roof will be a big problem because water will leak and everything. So Sai Premananji, he played drama on that. He wasn't really angry because he's detached. He lived 3 years on the mountain, alone, without anything, without any, you know, just enjoying, without any touch people, without it. He can sleep under a tree, it doesn't matter. So for him, it really doesn't matter. But in any case, so what he did is he played the drama using the language in this, for the works there for the village mentality. So that morning, he got very angry, played the angry. He tells us how he called the secretary of the ashram and was, yeah, where's that contractor? To bring him right away. And so they called him and he said, Swamiji is very angry, please come. So he came and he said, you think just because I'm Swami, I can't do anything? He's like some big rod from this construction. If you don't finish that, I'm going to break your bones with this, and yelled at him like this. So the contractor got very, very worried, so that they worked all day till late at night and finished most of the roof and everything like this, because he was so scared. And then after the next morning, the Swamiji told him, you know, I'm not going to do anything, you need to get the job done, so I was just, don't worry or anything. And he said there was just a small spot, small area to finish, and that of course took them forever to do that, but at least that job got done. So in this way, for him, he knew he's playing the drama. The others around were taken. Now, for us to, so the difference is knowing you're playing drama, like that. Knowing it's drama, knowing it's not taking it seriously like this. So, now we say the jnani has prarabdha, because we see the jnani there, and the jnani talking and eating and doing what it work or whatever. Jnani's perspective, they don't have prarabdha, because nothing is theirs. They're not the body. They know I'm not this body, I'm not this mind. The prarabdha is an appearance for them, just like things appear outside. It appears, body and mind also appear. It's an appearance. Like when you think of the dream, you know, if you don't analyze the dream, you say, I had the dream, and there I went to this place, and I experienced this, and I ran, or I helped this person, whatever. That's without analyzing the dream. When you analyze the dream, you know that it was just play of the mind. There wasn't you, an individual, doing things there. It was just an idea, right? There was nothing. You weren't doing, you weren't anything. It was just some fantasy, and that's it. So you know you didn't do anything in the dream. There was no you, individual, in the dream. It was just an appearance, right? You, the individual in the dream, is as much an appearance as everything else around there in the dream. The whole world of the dream is an appearance. So for the jnani, the world is an appearance as well as the individual is an appearance. So the prarabdha they're going through is not theirs, it's an appearance. It's a universal phenomenon, like this. So we say jnani has prarabdha and going through. From jnani perspective, what is prarabdha? It's also an appearance. So they don't really have prarabdha. It's not theirs. Right? Otherwise, they'll say, this is my prarabdha, like this. So that's how the jnani then is free from all karma, no karma for them. Okay. So then, one small thing it goes into here, it says, okay, but the jnani does action now, right? Okay, they know they're not doer, but some small karma will be there. There has to be some small motive, something to do something. There can't not be anything. What happens to this karma? This is very interesting. This, which says here, I haven't seen anywhere else. Not that I've studied all the texts and everything, but some that I've studied. This point I haven't seen anywhere. And it's also, at least as far as I see, it's a little bit minor, because we have to understand what karma is and understand, you know, why am I karta bhokta? That's for jnanam. This is a small corollary that is brought up and must have some validity too from teachings in this, but talks about, okay, so the jnani's agami, they do something, there is some small adrishta palam, where does that go? So it accounts for that. It wants to do clean accounting, don't leave anything unaccounted for. So this is what it's saying here. Kincha ye jnani namstunvanti, jnani namstunvanti, bhajanti, archayanti tan prati, jnana kritam agami punyam gacchati. And the next one is the opposite. Then we read all the English. Ye jnaninam nindanti.
Ye jnaninam nindanti.
Dvishanti dukkha pradam kurvanti.
Dvishanti dukkha pradam kurvanti.
Tan prati jnani kritam.
Tan prati jnani kritam.
Sarvam agami kriyamanam.
Yadavacham karma.
Papatmakam tad gacchati. Further, those who praise, serve, and worship the wise person, to them the agami punya, the merit from the karma created by the jnani at that time, done by the wise person, goes. Further, to those who abuse by words, hate, or give discomfort to the wise person, goes the agami karma, that is, karma being done by the jnani, which cannot be described, and which is of the nature of sin. Which cannot be described means very negative action, so you wouldn't want to say like this. So it's saying, okay, so when the jnani is doing some karma is done, so some small amount of punya papa has to be created. So what happens to that? So it gives sense as well. Those who are taking care and, you know, taken care of and have a devotion to that jnani, then some of that punya can come to them. Those who are adversely being very negative and everything towards, okay, so a little bit of that papa karma might come to them like this. That's what it's saying. That might be one of the reasons why in the Eastern world people very much revere, right, saint sages, and they don't want to think negative because they think something like this would affect them. But in any case, just the fact that somebody wants to serve jnani, wants to be in their company, wants, then already so punya will be there, so of course some will have some effect in this way. So that's what this is pointing out, and accounts for then if there's some adrishta palam from the jnani's activity, then it's taken care of. Then the account is clean that it went somewhere, okay? That's what this is pointing out. Now, tathā chātmavit samsāram tīrtvā brahmānandam iheva prāpnoti. And thus the knower of Atma, I, crossing samsāra, gains by knowledge Brahman, that is fullness, here itself while living. So from all that was discussed about the jnani, last few classes says, okay, so the jnani in here and now in this life is jivan mukta, free here and now, like this. Not some other time, some other place, like this. Because the thing is, if I am the consciousness, the unlimited consciousness, I'm that right now. I can know it right now, not some other place in time. Some other place in time, then, if I say, later I'll look into it, then never happens. I'll know later. It's right here, right here now. Who you are is right here and now. Who I am later, I think, that's again in the mind, it's a projection. Some situation, something. It's Atma, it's right here now always. And that's it. It's not something to be seen at some other point in time. Okay? And so also, the jnanam something, not post-Thomas, not some special condition of this, what I always am at every point in time. And this knowledge then, it says, by this knowledge one gains it, not by some special condition, some special experience, some special place, because all those are conditioned. If that condition is not there afterwards, then what? Same here. Samsaram tirtva, having crossed the samsara, and crossed here again, any words are always limited. Right? Whatever word you use cannot be the thing in itself. It's just a pointer. And the pointer, we can mistake the pointer to be pointing to something else. Right? You're pointing something, it can be something within that range. So there can be, we can mistake what it's pointing to. That's why we study and keep looking into this constantly and do shravana mananam to clarify, because we've been mistaking what I am for eternity, right? So we have to be a little patient to slowly look into and hone in on what I am really, not the mistaken identity. But the understanding does it. And that's the main thing in Vedanta. By this understanding, then one obtains this right here now, and obtains again. The very interesting about this is prapnoti, obtains, right? Ap and obtain. Apnoti, obtain, same root like this. We say it's praptasya praptihi, what we're looking for. Praptasya prapti, obtaining what has already been obtained. If it's something that I don't have, I don't have a Tesla, I very much want one, I work hard, I make money, and this, and then I get a Tesla, then good, now I have a Tesla. Tomorrow I won't have a Tesla because tomorrow they go out of business and then nobody services, so I can't do. Or tomorrow I get tired of it, I sell it and I get a different car, doesn't matter. Then I didn't have. But if I already have something, I already have that's inherent to me, how will I lose it? It's obtaining what's already obtained. So it's just a matter of understanding. I think what I'm looking for is somewhere else. Maybe Brahman is in this place, in this temple. Maybe Brahman is in this experience. Maybe Brahman, you know, whatever it is. Maybe that's where Brahman is. I haven't looked there yet. But that's the mistake. I'm looking where and when and how instead of what is always there. So it's obtaining what's already been obtained. And the example we like to give then is, I now say I can't read the text clearly, something's wrong. And I say, oh, my glasses. Where did I put my glasses? Give me a minute, I'm going to go inside and see where did I leave them. Or I'll start looking through the cupboard. And you'll say, wait, Gajanan, wait. Just look, just put your hand there. Just put your hand, near your chest there. Say, why should I do that? You know, I'm looking for the glasses. Yeah, just trust me. I'll help you find the glass. Just do that. I'll say, oh, there they are. That they were always hanging on that thread around my neck. I didn't notice. So I didn't need to do something. I needed to understand that they're already here. So the jnani, by understanding, knows that they're Brahman. And not just is the jnani Brahman, you're Brahman, I'm Brahman, we're all Brahman. Whatever else is Brahma. Brahma is a confusion. So due to Brahma, we don't know we're Brahman, due to confusion. So it's a matter of this understanding. Understanding, then no problem. And what happens again, deeply rooted identity. I have some glimpse, some idea of this, but so many doubts are there because I'm so conditioned. So conditioned that I'm this individual, all this other stuff. So that's why we have to keep really looking into to have the clear understanding. So they have this clear understanding, so this is how they go beyond samsara, beyond life of becoming. Life of becoming, that circle we saw from the beginning, it's not, becoming isn't linear, I'm going up and up and forwards and forwards, it's circular, because the simplistic thing we said, I'm fine, now I'm okay, I'm not fine, maybe I should do something about it, so I put effort in, and maybe, and then, at some point, okay, I'm okay now, right? And then after a little while, well, I'm not really okay, something else isn't okay. Let me do it, I'll do something about it. So I put effort in, and maybe I stay at that, I'm not okay, but eventually I'm okay, now things are okay. Where does that end? It's circular, so it doesn't end. So the only way, the solution is outside of that circle, not within that circle. So now within the life of becoming samsara, right? Now within that, the only way to get out of it is not through action. Action is that cycle. Through understanding is outside of that cycle. You know, that I am is not affected by the cycle. I am, I know. Not affected by that cycle, it's always there. I'm always I am, always I know. I know, not specific, I know this thing, I'm knowingness. And that's what the Atma is, that is Atma. But I'm caught up in all the other stuff which is part of becoming. So this whole viveka vichara we do to clarify that, like this. So not just jnani is Brahman, we're all Brahman, but we just hasn't been clear to me yet. Now what happens here is the author, having concluded, they point out, which is very commonly done, in the text is saying it's not, these aren't my teachings. I didn't wake up one day and have this wonderful idea. Look, because if I had this wonderful idea, it came from my mind. My mind is a limited thing, limited individual, and then it's just some limited thing. It can't be the essence itself, right? So pointing out, look, these aren't my teachings, these are teaching of Shastra of the Upanishads. That's the important thing. So that's what is said here. Tarati shokam.
Tarati shokam.
Atma viditi shrute.
Atma viditi shrute.
This is so because of the Shruti statement, the Shruti, the Upanishads, the knower of Atma crosses sorrow. From, I think, Chandogya, from one of the Upanishads, Chandogya Upanishad, I think there. But it just gives one small quote. Okay, so the one who knows the Atma goes beyond all sorrow. Very interesting. Again, says, no, you know yourself. Know thyself and be free, Swami Shivananda would chant. Inquire who am I, know thyself and be free. So you know yourself, you know it, and then sorrow. Interesting. As we were in Gita, and we'll go back to Gita after this, right? Then our dear Arjuna, he had sorrow, right? It started with Arjuna's sorrow, was the first chapter. Right? This one, Arjuna Vishada Yoga, first chapter. But then, Sri Krishna didn't console him. He didn't go, but he taught him. And at the end, Arjuna's problem has gone away. Situation hasn't changed, but problem went away because of understanding. So understanding, then sorrow is gone. Because my sorrow, because of my identity and situation, and I want things to be different, or there's a physical pain, or mental pain, emotional pain, expectation, all this kind of stuff is there, right? But then when I understand, if you understand some, if there's a big problem, you understand it's a dream, then even if the dream continues, not a problem, because you know it's a dream. So here also, as long as I take myself to be the individual, this cycle of sorrow, the samsara, some sorrow, right? But it's not the English sam, it's samyak, a lot of tremendous. Well, it keeps going and going and going. So as long as there, the misunderstanding is there, then I'm caught up in that. When the understanding is there, then where is it? So this is what pointing out in the Upanishad, this is what it teaches, that to go beyond this, the Brahmavit Atmavit, oh, here it's Atmavit, right? Tarati Atmavit. In the Taittiriya, it's Brahmavit Atmavoti Param. They're Brahmavit Atmavit. Same thing as we saw Atma and Brahman are the same. That's what we learned in the text, right? Consciousness, individual consciousness, universal consciousness are the same. The only difference is the Upadhi, what you're seeing it through. Not what's there, you're seeing it through. What lens you're looking at it? But you're looking at the same thing. Okay? So that's here. Knower crosses sorrow, crosses all the life of becoming. That's the only way to totally get rid of it. Otherwise, we can conditionally overcome. But conditionally meanings, when those conditions aren't there, then the same problem would be there. So anything we do through changing situation can help, but it's a conditional help. It doesn't go to the root. So meaning there still will be, you know, the problems of life will still be there, like this. So it doesn't totally solve. So the Shruti set points this out, right, the Upanishads, and also Smriti. Smriti, other texts which are not the original Upanishads, which are teaching the same things, like the Gita, like that. So this is gives also a quote from some Smriti, which one I don't know. The commentary also didn't point out which it's from. Tanum tyajatuva, tanum tyajatuva, kashyam shvapachasya grihe tava, kashyam shvapachasya grihe tava, jnana samprapti samaye,
jnana samprapti samaye,
mukto savikatashaya,
Iti smritescha.
This is so because the Smriti also says, let him cast off the body in Kashi or at the house of a dog eater. The one who has got no particular place of choice is liberated even at the time of gaining knowledge. So what happens is people think of moksha as something conditional. They think I'm going to be in an auspicious place. When I die, then I'm going to be liberated. So that's, so Kashi is very well known for this, Varanasi. And interesting, years back when I was in Varanasi, then not just people, right? People wait in long queues for things in India, for the temples, for the train. Well, the train, they don't wait in the queue. They're pushing to get on like this. But so many crowds of people, you have to get to that, it's very hard. In Kashi, those who die in Kashi, you go to the ghat. We went to the ghat, Mahakaruniga ghat. You have to wait in line too. The bodies are waiting in line to be burnt. So you're going to wait all day for your turn also to have the body be burnt. But in any case, somebody will think, I'll be in that condition, I'll die, then I will go. You know, dying in a good, for the, as ajnani, the death is an important thing. I die in my mind in a better place, in a better place, in a more sattvic place, a more loving place, I will, you know, go off to better. You know, good chance I'll go to a better place, so there's validity in that. But not for jnanam. That's not for jnanam. Here it says, what happens is, okay, for the jnani, if they're dying in the auspicious place or the least auspicious place, what difference does it make? Here, the untouchable, like say, the house of the lowliest person, that's the idea here. Like this. The most, you know, least, most tamasic place be there, the most, you know, most sattvic place, most holy place, doesn't make a difference because for them, they already know that the world is unreal. If the world is unreal, birth is unreal, death is unreal. There's no death for the jnani. When Ramana Maharshi was dying from cancer, then some devotees were saying, what's going to happen once you go, you know? So he said, where am I going to go? There's nowhere for me to go. What are you saying? So these people, either they, you know, didn't understand what his life is teaching like this, didn't understand that, so they're attached to him. Or maybe they have some understanding, but some emotional attachment also and everything, obviously, their guru and beloved and everything. But where is there for me to go? Interesting. Tulsidas, he was known for this. He wrote that he lived his whole life, he was born, lived in Kashi his whole life, but went to some small town like this, some small village somewhere to die, just to point this out. Said, don't think that just because you're living in Kashi, you're going to be liberated. It's nothing to do with where you live, it's your understanding. So it says even here, in some smriti, it's also pointing out, listen, you're liberated not because of the conditions that you're living in this place or that. That's not what's going to do it. You have to understand. Look into it, be clear. Because once you're clear, jivan mukta, there's no death. We say jivan mukta while living, then the jivan mukta dies. It's called videha mukta. They're still liberated without body. Right? But the thing is, it's the same for them. They're brahman. Brahman with some appearance, brahman without some appearance. You've gold, you know, half a pound of gold, whether it's in the form of some ornaments, whether it's just in a lump, it's gold. Same gold, same value, same, you know, same weight like this. The appearance doesn't matter, same substance. So they know that Brahman, if the appearance of the world is there, of individuals there, Brahman, not there, Brahman. I am and I know now. I go to sleep, I have a dream. I am and I know is still there. I have deep sleep. Right? Avastatra viveka, we pointed out. I know nothing, there's nothing there. I am still and I know. I'm knowing this. How do I? Because when I wake up, I was there, I knew nothing. I was in deep sleep, I knew nothing. Still I am, I know, regardless. Whatever state, like this. So I am, I know is constant there. Doesn't matter the conditions. We're caught up in the conditions, not in the substance. So the jnani not caught up in the conditions. So conditions of death also, what difference would it make? One thing actually very interesting that my guru had said. He had said, I don't remember the exact term he used, but like the good swami will die, you know, in the holy place. Bad swami will die in the hospital of this. When he said that, I had a feeling he's going to pass in the hospital. So he went, he was going to Mukambika. Mukambika in, it's northern Kerala. I think it's in Karnataka already, one of those places. I went there once. Very beautiful, peaceful place like this. So he was going there, but then went to hospital and passed away in hospital like this. But just saying that, but that's again the external. Meaning, what is your, you know, for us, we want to have our mind in an uplifted thing. Yeah, that's important. But, you know, that the important thing is the understanding. Again, saying, to point out that the smritis also are supporting same thing, that this is, that not, that's not what's going to do it. Again, that doesn't mean sattvic lifestyle, all this we do, because it supports the, for jnanam, two things we do. One thing is the lifestyle supporting it, karma yoga type lifestyle, with things that are supporting so that I can, so as an in, my instrument is better for the inquiry. And second is the actual inquiry, the jnana yoga, sharavanam, manan nididhyasanam, these we do, because that's the direct thing. Direct means is the jnana. The indirect is the preparation, the Vedanta-friendly lifestyle, right? Like this. But then in the end, for the jnani, it doesn't matter. Somebody's not a jnani, it would matter, yes. For jnani, makes no difference like that. So then it says, iti tattva bodha prakaranam samaptam. Tattva bodha prakaranam samaptam. Thus ends the prakaranam called tattva bodha. So this is, it finishes here, and it gave us a nice overview of what is the vision of Vedanta, what it points out. And the good thing about, as we said, studying this text, it gives a nice overview of a lot of what is being pointed out, some of the main things pointed out in Vedanta. And then when you study other texts, then it makes it much easier to understand what it's talking about, like that. One thing, fortunate last year, or a year before, I heard from Swami Tatviranandji, said, with this one text, with Tattva Bodha, be very careful not to make it, if you study this and think of these as concepts, conceptual Vedanta, he says, then you'll just be caught up in concepts. And with just concepts, you'll stay with concepts and you can't get out of it. Because are you a concept? You as a awareful being, it's not a concept, you are that. So I think that some concepts as a Vedanta, and I'm just going to make it a technical thing like this, we get stuck in that. Where the teachings are pointers to who I am and what is the base of my experience. That's what it's pointing out. So in this way, I have to be very careful. The concepts it's pointing out are important for us as pointers and for furthering our understanding. So not that these concepts are useless, but not to think Vedanta is just some conceptual thing. Because if you just get caught up in conceptualization, you'll get stuck there. It'll be just an intellectual thing, intellectual ideas, like this. But it's something to be looked into. The concepts around it in order to look into it, to help us to understand, to look into. So he said this, said that's especially when somebody starts Vedanta, if they're just into concepts, then they can get stuck. So to be careful of that, that's warning he had. So I was very happy to hear that warning. We have studied this text before, but you know, this time when we're studying before that, to hear from him, it's very, I think very insightful. So I think of it, we study this, it should be, there's conceptual concepts, but also it has to be insightful. Otherwise, if it's not insightful, then it's going to stay as just some ideas. Okay. So then I'm thankful for all of us, all of you coming and studying this. And then next week we'll conclude, because next week what we'll do is we'll have a summary of it. As Arunji, I was thinking whether to not, and it's a good point he said, because, you know, we studied for some time, so there's quite a few things we'll discuss. So we'll have a small summary, and we'll do some question answer. So actually, for yourself, maybe go over, this week you go over what you studied, look through it, and then some things weren't clear, some questions, whatever it is, just you can have those questions. If you sent to me in advance, even better, then, because sometimes a question is asked, like the question to come up about the deep sleep, right? How do we have a collection of deep sleep? It's a very good question. So then I went and I researched it too, because I didn't know. Like that, there were some points there we assumed in the class, but then we found some other insights into it. So then that gives time also to look into, to find some more deeper answers if you want. So we'll do that, okay? Oh, one thing I'll just going back to, very small point, where it talked about the agami karma of the jnani going to those who serve and love, and those who are approach them negatively. That's the law of karma, not the jnani. Jnani won't have a preference, right? Jnani sees everybody as themselves. How they think of you, I like very much, and you, I don't like. That's the conditioning of the mind. Jnani sees it has equal vision. So that's law of karma, not the jnani will say, okay, you are so bad, I'm going to curse you. Oh, you're very good, I'll bless you, not like this. The jnani says, my left hand, you're very bad, I don't like. Right hand, you're wonderful. No. So it's like that. So just one point that we didn't bring up. Let's finish here for today. Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashivshyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So next week is our retreat day. Okay, so there's no, we won't have this class, right? And then the week after, then we'll have the conclusion. So those out of town, we'll see you in 2 weeks. If you wanted to come for the talks, retreat, let me know. We can put on the video, not a problem. But otherwise, we'll just see you in 2 weeks. Those in person, see you in the retreat day, of course. If you're not too far away, you want to come for retreat day, please do. You're welcome to. Oh, and any questions before we close? Turn off the screen and everything. Very good, so I'll see you next time. Okay.
Oh. Mm-hmm. A lot can review.
Sorry?
So there's a lot to review.
Yeah, well, it gives an overview, and then Vedanta as we study, we're studying the same, same topic.